Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, and I'm the blessed guy who gets to be the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento, California. By the way, and as always, I'd love you to check out our website at Epiclesis. It's epiclesis.org. You can learn more about this thing called Ancient Future Faith, and even better than that, we'd love to have you join us in person for a worship service. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 in the Sacramento region. Just zip over to the website to find out more information. Now, before we get to today's guest, I want you to grab your calendars, if you would, and let me share with you some events that are coming up in the near future at Epiclesis that I want you to be aware of. You may know that Easter week is coming up, so I want you to put down these dates and think about joining us. Palm Sunday is the 9th of April, and we worship each Sunday morning at 10:30 at the corner of Winding Way in Pasadena. As always, you can zip over to the website at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org if you need some directions or other information. But there are two extra events during Holy Week that I'd like you to be aware of and think about joining us. First of all, on Thursday night, April 13th, that's Maundy Thursday, we have a marvelous service that's always very moving and special. By the way, the term Maundy Thursday comes from a Latin phrase, mandatum novum. It's the place where Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you," part of the upper room discourse. And each year, we observe a very beautiful and moving, although also simple, service, candlelight communion, on Maundy Thursday. That's the 13th this year, April 13th, Thursday night at 7 p.m. And then a very special service that you might not have heard of before called a Easter Vigil service. It happens on Saturday night, April 15th. That's the day before Resurrection Sunday. And that service begins at 11 p.m. Now, I know that sounds very late, but it's an especially beautiful service that I'd love you to be a part of. One of the things we do at that service is read a whole lot of scripture, and we tell the story from Genesis all the way through the redemption of the world, through the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a service that goes all the way back to the very early church. In those very early days, folks who were being discipled in the Lord would have gone through Holy Week, and then on Saturday, Holy Saturday, they would have a vigil all the way through the evening, and then be baptized sunrise, Easter Sunday morning, and celebrate their first communion. So this particular service begins at 11 o'clock on Saturday night, the 15th. We start outdoors, and there's a flame there from which everyone takes a light for their candle, and then we go inside, and it's an absolutely beautiful service. Then, of course, Easter Sunday morning, the 16th of April, again, we worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 at the corner of Winding Way in Pasadena. All the information you can find on the web at epiclesis.org. And that's epiclesis.org. Several events coming up during Holy Week, about a month away, and I'd love you to be a part of those things at Epiclesis. Now, let me switch gears and introduce you to our guest for today. I should probably mention first, though, that I'm also the board chair and founder of an organization called the Ancient Future Faith Network. And this program, brought to you each week by Epiclesis and the network, seeks to answer this question: what in the world is ancient future faith? And today on the line with me is a friend and a member of the Ancient Future Faith Network. His name is Doug Hafso. Doug, we are very blessed to have you calling us from, I don't know, is it chilly in Canada today, by the way?
Oh, yeah, it's been very cold, minus 20-ish. That was yesterday. I'm at Celsius, so that would be 10 below, I think, Fahrenheit.
I should have paid more attention to my high school math teacher when she was telling us how to convert Celsius to Fahrenheit. I don't have a clue, but I know that must be cold because I've been to Edmonton in the winter and it's chilly, I have to say.
It is.
Doug, you became a member of the Ancient Future Faith Network back a few months ago. In fact, maybe even more than a year now. I'm not remembering off the top of my head. But folks, if you'd like to see a picture of Doug playing his double bass or learn more about his bio, I would encourage you to zip over to the ancientfuturefaithnetwork.org site. You can read more about him there. But Douglas, I was hoping here at the beginning of the broadcast, before I begin to pick your brains about this thing called Ancient Future Faith, could you just take a couple of minutes and tell us everything we need to know about Doug Hafso, would you?
I grew up in the Lutheran Church in a small farming community, and I married a Catholic girl, so I have a love for the Catholic Church as well, because I have a lot of, my wife's family is Catholic still, so I end up going to that church as well sometimes. And now we live west of Edmonton, and we attend a Lutheran church, which it's been a thriving church until maybe the last 4 or 5 years our attendance was dropping. We had a traditional service and a contemporary service, and now we've gone down to one service, and we're trying to combine the traditional and the contemporary into one service. So we are having our challenges doing that.
Yeah, well, I want to ask you about that in just a second, but I notice on your bio sketch that you are a really interesting mix of right brain and left brain kind of person. It says that you are a retired highway designer, and it says geometric highway designer. I don't have a clue what that means, by the way, but I'm sure that it involves math of some kind.
Yes, that's true. It's very mathematical. It's the geometry of the highway, so the horizontal and the vertical. And basically designing the highways and generating all the XYZ coordinates that are necessary to build the highway.
Oh my goodness, I can't even begin to imagine.
So that was my job, starting off way back when we used to do everything with paper and pencil.
And slide rulers, I'll bet.
And yeah, slide rulers, yes. And then we transitioned into mainframe computers and then into personal computers. So when I left the business, it was totally computerized. I could work out of my house and do all the design work right at home here.
Okay, so on top of all the mathematic and engineering work that you have done and computers and all of that, by the way, my dad was an engineer, so I know at least enough to be dangerous, but our minds don't work in the same way. But I see on top of all of that, Doug, you also have been involved in music ministry forever, and you have classical training on the double bass, and you play double bass at church, and you also play classical music with other groups. There are several orchestras listed here. So that's a really fascinating combination. By the way, I should tell you, years ago, I used to teach a music appreciation class, a classical music appreciation class to adults at the University of Tennessee in their night school and in the non-credit program. And most everybody who came to that class, Doug, were engineers and mathematicians and scientists. So there must be something about you guys that also has a real interest in the musical arts, yes?
That's right. I guess that's true. That's very interesting.
As you look at your life, I want now to kind of pick your brains about that very thing when it comes to ancient future faith. Before we get there, though, let me just say to folks that you're listening to a radio program called Ancient Future Faith. It's brought to you each week here on KFIA Radio and podcasted and streamed from the Ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento, California. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the pastor of the church, also the board chair and founder of the Ancient Future Faith Network. Today on the phone from wintry Edmonton, Canada, is a member of the network, Doug Hafso, and we're talking to him about his life living on both sides of the brain. He's a mathematician and a retired engineer and does all of that kind of stuff, but he's also a wonderful musician and cares deeply about this thing called ancient future faith. Doug, how did you become attracted to this theology of ancient future faith? And then if you would you just tell us sort of from your perspective, what does that mean? What does ancient future faith mean to you?
Well, I first found out about it it was 2012 when I met you at Breakforth Canada in Edmonton. You had a booth, or you had a workshop, I think it was. So I attended your workshop, and you had your pianist, Ellen, was there.
Yes.
And I attended the workshop, and you had a mini service during the workshop. And so that's how I first found out about this.
Mm-hmm. Until that time, you had already kind of been inclined toward, if I can use the word classical or traditional expressions of the church through the ages. But was there just something, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but was there just something about that workshop or the way we did the service that really made your heart sing and caught your attention?
Well, I'm not sure if I can put my finger on it, but it was just that, yeah, the whole thing with the music, the liturgy that you had. I don't know what it was that attracted me to it, but I just loved it.
So tell me, please, in your own words, what is ancient future faith mean to you? What is this thing? And then I want to pick your brains a little bit about how and if it is being applied in your current setting and what you think. Do some speculating with me about what is the future for ancient future faith. But define it for us, if you can, Doug, at least to you. What is ancient future faith all about?
Well, I think it's going back to the very beginnings of the church in the first few centuries and learning from how they used to worship way back then, and then bringing it back to the present and incorporating maybe some of the more modern music, but still keeping the traditional reading the scriptures and prayer, communion, fellowship, and not overemphasizing just the music, which I think a lot of the churches seem to think that music is everything, but I think it's much more than just music.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that because so many people these days sort of come from the assumption that anything we do in worship is about style. I mean, you know as well as I do that some churches even advertise themselves based upon what style their service is. So there's not going to be anything obvious necessarily unless they have a denominational label about what it is they believe. But you can choose to go to the so-called contemporary service or you can go to the modern service. There's even a church that calls one of its services the modern casual service, which is the most unusual clashing of terms that I can think of off the top of my head, because I'm not sure they understand what the word modern really means. But I'm wondering if you would talk a bit about that. What is it other than music that ancient future represents? Because you're right, it's more than about, it's a lot more than just about style, yes?
Oh, yes, right, yeah. It's more about just entering the presence of God through reading God's word, through the confession of our faith, you know, like the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, the offering, and then communion, breaking bread together. And the whole service is so, to me, it's so worshipful, just being aware of the presence of God. So I do love the traditional Lutheran service. Right now in our church, we have a traditional service twice a month, and then more contemporary, where there is no communion, for example. So to me, I don't know, I just think that the communion part of the service is so important, breaking bread together.
Well, from a theological perspective, it certainly is, because if you're going to think about church being a covenant renewal and an opportunity for God's subjects to come before him and renew covenant, there has to be a sign of the covenant and table, as our friend Dr. Carl Peters, who is also in the network and one of our board members, would remind us that the coming around the table is the sign of the covenant. We hear the word and then we have the sign. I heard recently, Doug, someone was describing Epiclesis to a friend, and they said that we come around the table every week, and so we have communion together every single week. And the person is said to have replied that they just thought that was too much, that it would lose its specialness. You've probably heard that line before somewhere along the way. But for me, I think I'm with you. I don't know if I could handle not coming around the table every week with the body of Christ. Do you feel similarly?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I agree with that as well. So I'm hoping that with my church here, that eventually we will start to have communion every Sunday again, the way we used to when we had the two services. At least we had, for the traditional service, we did have communion every Sunday.
Well, I want to talk about that in just a second, but first let me remind people once again that you're listening to a radio program called Ancient Future Faith, and it's brought to you by the Ministry of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith community, a church here in Sacramento, California. And if you're in our region, we'd love to have you come visit us. You can learn more about the church by visiting epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. But above all, we'd love to have you come worship with us. You're listening to an interview with Doug Hefso. He's a member of the Ancient Future Faith Network. He's a retired engineer. He's also a double bass player, and so he uses both sides of his brain very frequently, and it's a delight, Doug, to have you on board. Something caught my eye in your bio sketch that I want to ask you about before we talk about your particular church, if we can. And there's a place in your bio sketch that caught my eye where you underline and highlight a particular statement on the Ancient Future Faith Network that says this: "The AFFN furthers the renewal of the church's worship and spirituality by pointing the people of God to the truth that our spirituality is located in Christ, and that by faith we see the ancient, present, and future all come together in Him." That, for me, is one of the most important theological aspects about Ancient Future Faith. One, that we locate our spirituality in Jesus. Jesus is our spirituality, rather than us trying to dig down deep and somehow discover that deep within ourselves. And that at table, most especially, but in Jesus Christ above all, ancient, present, and future all come together. Why particularly, I guess I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, why particularly does that statement resonate with you?
Well, it's true. Jesus is the center and the source of our spirituality, not singing, relying on music, say, to get our sense of spirituality. It's only through Him that we have a sense of who we are, even just creations of God, made in the image of God.
And that's another thing that I tell folks when they wonder or ask if Ancient Future is somehow just about music or style, because we want to point people to the theological truth that an Ancient Future approach and theology also emphasizes our spirituality being located in Christ. And when we come together around the table of the Lord and Jesus is standing among us in His risen power, that ancient and present and future all come together in Jesus Christ. That's good stuff. And by the way, thank you for highlighting that in your bio sketch. Doug, in our remaining moments, I wanted to talk to you about your church. Tell us a little bit more about the Lutheran church you attend and your hopes for how Ancient Future Faith and that theology and that approach may be helpful in revitalizing and restoring that church.
Well, right now, we have been a church divided, I suppose you could say, because some people in the church think, a true service is only traditional and it's only singing hymn. And then the other people, they do not like the liturgy. They think, it's all about the contemporary music and that you can get into the presence of God just through these modern worship songs. So right now, for example, tomorrow or this Sunday, we will be having a traditional service, and we've been planning the hymns that we're going to be using and, emailing back and forth with the cantor and the piano player. Our piano player, he's a first-year university student at Vanguard College, and he wants to be a worship leader someday. And his professor is actually a graduate of the Robert Weber Institute of Worship Studies.
Yeah.
His name is Dr. Jerry Paulson, I think it is.
Yes, I know the name.
Yes, so that's this pianist. I think he's 18 or 19 years old. But he has a heart for the Lord, and he's going to school now to learn how to be a worship leader. So it's so interesting how that all happened in this last year. He just started going last September to this school. Yeah, so I'll be seeing him on this Saturday or tomorrow. We're going to be rehearsing for Sunday, and I think actually things are looking up. Like when you see a young person like that getting this education from somebody like somebody that graduated from the Robert Weber Institute of Worship Studies, I think it's so exciting. So I'm just hoping that maybe through this younger person. Maybe we can eventually get our services to be more standardized, perhaps, or to have communion every Sunday and follow this new way of looking at things. Or not really new, I guess it's really old way of worshiping.
Sure.
God.
Sure. You know, I notice, at least in my neck of the woods and when I'm out and about traveling and doing worship workshops, that these terms, modern or, say, contemporary or traditional, really just have lost all of their meaning. Because sometimes when people use the word modern, they think that it means and assume that it means contemporaneous. But modernity has all kinds of baggage attached to it. And I think when they advertise their services as being modern, they're being more truthful and prophetic about that than they realize. Because I think that they think that it is contemporaneous, but in most cases, actually, it is not, but kind of stuck in a modernity that does church in a particular way. And then the term traditional means all kinds of different things to different people. In a Lutheran church, traditional might mean a traditional Lutheran service. But if you go to an independent Baptist church or something like that, traditional may be just meaning the way we've personally done it here at this location. Contemporary also has lost its meaning because very few churches are doing things that are actually and truly contemporaneous. In fact, I think most contemporary services, which are populated, by the way, ironically, by baby boomers, would probably not really honestly like the contemporary music that 20-somethings are actually listening to these days. So I think, at least for me, I'm for throwing out this notion that we try to do worship in any one or two particular styles and say, let's use the whole of music history in the church to tell God's big, bold, beautiful, colorful story. And let's make Christ be the center of our worship, and certainly coming around the table is important to me. And let's tell his story and use a thousand different colors and styles and so on to do that. The notion that we can use a particular piece of music to bring us into the presence of God is actually, as one theologian said, it's actually monotheistic because we assume that we can do the work of the Holy Spirit by getting ourselves into some particular state using music or something like that. So I'm with you, Doug. I am hopeful that there'll be some worship renewal there in your church, as it is happening in churches all across North America with this thing called Ancient Future Faith.
Amen to that. Yes, that's my hope as well.
I have an invitation for you. You want to hear it?
Okay, sure.
Okay. Next time you're in this neck of the woods, I'd love you to come worship with us at Epiclesis. And the next time I'm in the Edmonton area, I want to come hang out with you too. Would that be all right?
That would be great. Yes, Chris.
Love to have you. And thanks again, Doug, for agreeing to be interviewed. I do appreciate it. And I want to encourage folks to zip over to the ancientfuturefaithnetwork.org site. You can click on Network Members and scroll down to the H's and see Doug Hafso there playing his double bass and read a little more about him. Doug Hafso, it's been a blessing to have you with us. Thank you so much. Thanks again.
You're most welcome.
So, folks, until we gather for another edition of Ancient Future Faith, I want you to be thinking about this. Surely the road to our Christian future runs through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hey folks, just a minute before you go. Lent has begun, that historic period in the life of the Christian church when we focus on putting things off and putting things on in preparation for Easter. Let me invite you to make worship at Epiclesis a part of your Lent this year. And by the way, folks, our small groups have just launched an intriguing Lenten series called Soul Keeping, and there's still time for you to jump in. As always, get more details on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next time for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.